So the other day, I was getting ready for the all-school mass with the kids, and as I was standing in the sacristy, just kind of listening to the noise of the church and all the coughing and hacking and the sniffles, and you know, I thought, yeah, flu season is definitely upon us, right? And so all these kids are there, you know, with and they all after mass they want to greet you, and with their just bright smiling faces and germy little hands. Very eager to share their good morning with you, right? So, and you know that's the struggle parents face, right? Is the constant cold, and when a kid gets sick and they bring out that thermometer and the thermometer says 103, mom and dad know they're not going to be getting a lot of sleep that night, right? Because the baby's going to be up crying and it's not going to be a lot of fun, right? Well, the thing is. In our spiritual lives, we can have kind of the same thing. We can get the flu, so to speak. And so, you know, what's a way that we can gauge our spiritual health, our spiritual well-being? What's the thermometer that we would use to evaluate that? I would recommend on this, the feast, or the Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of joy, Gaudete, the Latin for rejoice, coming from our second reading from St. Paul to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice, which is our introit antiphon, right? So this idea that this Sunday is a day of rejoicing. And if you were to want, to look for, to need a way to gauge your spiritual health, that thermometer, I would say look no further than joy. Look no further than the presence of joy in your heart and in your life. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's an unmistakable marker that the Holy Spirit is present in the soul. It's an unmistakable, it's something that is very easily accessible, especially to those around you, huh? That there's something different about this person. There's something joyful about this person. But joy is not the same thing as happiness, right? Joy and happiness are not, that we might use them as synonyms, but they're certainly not. Joy is, we're talking about joy as something much, much deeper. In his homily on this, the Gaudete Sunday in 2007, Pope Benedict talked about joy and the meaning of Christian joy. And he talked about what is the source, what is the source of Christian joy? Where do we, or where should we draw joy from? He talks about God taking on flesh, that God is with us, that the nearness of Almighty God, the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars, the cosmos, infinite power, chose to humble himself and take on the weakness of you and I, to be like us in all things but sin. Pope Benedict says that reality, the nearness of God, that he wants to be close to us, that is what Christians draw their joy from. This idea that God, as it were, was espoused to humanity. He has taken our condition upon himself, choosing to be like us. Christian joy thus springs from this certainty. God is close to me. He is with me. He is with us. In joy and in sorrow. In sickness and in health. As a friend and a spouse. And as this joy endures, even during trials, even during suffering itself, it does not remain only there on the surface, but dwells in the depths of the person who entrusts himself to God and trusts in him. So this idea that joy is something deeper, take the image of the ocean, all right? So there's a storm going on, raging seas, huge waves that could crush a ship. But you go down a little bit deeper. You go down to the depths, and there's calm, there's peace, there's joy. That's what we're talking about. Happiness is up at the top. That's what the storm. It comes and goes, high and low. But joy is something deeper. And if you want to use that thermometer, ask yourself, do I have abiding joy? Is there something deep within me that rejoices? Is my Christian faith a burden? Is it a task that I have to drag myself out of bed to make it to Mass? Is it a chore for me to set some time aside and just say a couple of prayers in the morning? Is that a chore? Is it a burden? Or is it a matter of joy? Brothers and sisters, if our faith is a burden, if it does not bring us joy, I promise you, you're doing something wrong. There's something amiss. There's something not quite right there. And again, to kind of juxtapose happiness and joy, Pope Benedict talks about that as well. He said, often people make an idol of happiness. They make an idol of happiness, and they lose their way, and it is truly hard for them to find the joy which Jesus speaks. Unfortunately, this is what is proposed by a culture to replace God by individual happiness, by a mindset of their emblematic effect, the pleasure of finding pleasure at all costs, spreading the use of drugs for an escape, refuge in an artificial paradise. I mean, consider, are you looking forward more to Christmas Day and the giving and exchanging of gifts? Maybe spending time with family. That's all good things. Those are good things, by all means. But those are matters of happiness. Are you looking forward to joy? Again, the joy being springing from the realization of God's presence among us, that God is near to us. Again, listen to the readings that we had again today from the prophet Zephaniah. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Skips a couple lines. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. The King is in your midst. This is the people, this is the Jewish people that didn't have, I mean, they had the Ark of the Covenant, they had the temple, they knew they were the apple of God's eye, but they did not have Jesus Christ in the flesh. And so skip forward again, though, to what St. Paul says in our second reading. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Joy springs from this realization that God, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is close. He is near. And he wasn't just satisfied taking on flesh and taking on the limitations of flesh and bone in a human body. That wasn't even good enough. He did that. He suffered on the cross. But then he goes even further to hide himself under the form of bread and wine, to be subject to any kind of abuse that you can imagine and has been subject to for the sake of being within an inch or two of our hearts. That kind of nearness, that's where joy comes from. And again, we look at how can we be joyful? How can we be joyful in the midst of suffering? When the happiness, if you understand joy and happiness is the same thing, you got a problem. But if you understand them being different, you can see how joy can abide in sorrow and difficulty. Take the case in point, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You know, she worked in the slums of Calcutta. She saw the worst, the absolute worst of humanity. People who literally, physically starved to death in front of her because they didn't have food. You know, people who would die that she would pick maggots out of the wounds of people lying on the street. And in the midst of all that, 50 years she lived without any spiritual consolation. She endured what St. John of the Cross calls the dark night of the soul. For 50 years, she had no happiness. Yet, she was a burning model of joy. Just absolutely contagious joy. Maybe she wasn't all giddy and happy all the time, but she had a joy because she knew the presence of Christ. And Pope Benedict, in that same homily I was quoting earlier, he quotes Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And she says, "We wait impatiently for paradise, where God is. We wait impatiently to be there where God is in heaven," right? That's where happiness, that's where joy is. "But it is in our power to be in paradise even here on earth. And from this moment, being happy with God means loving like Him, helping like Him, giving like Him, serving like Him." In other words, you can attain the joy, maybe not to the full extent of the beatific vision, but Mother Teresa is telling us you can have the joy of paradise here on earth. That seeing that Christ abiding in the soul. And that's what she would tell her sisters all the time, that the man lying on the street with maggots crawling in and out of his skin, that is Jesus Christ. God with us in the Eucharist, so near to us. And then again, you know, with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you might not have guessed this, but John the Baptist is actually the patron saint of Christian joy. A man who lived with a camel hair shirt and, you know, lived off of locusts and honey in the desert. He, of all the saints, is the patron saint of Christian joy. And it goes back to him recognizing the presence of Jesus Christ. Think about the visitation. When Mary came to see her cousin Elizabeth, and John the Baptist leapt for joy because Jesus was near. Brothers and sisters, if we lose sight of this, especially during this time of Advent, this time of preparation for Christmas, if we lose sight that Jesus is with us, He's near. In the Eucharist, He loves us. He took on flesh for us. If we lose sight of that, we will lose our joy. And if we lose our joy, we will be unable, we'll be paralyzed, frozen, unable to evangelize. Because joy is a necessary part of that. Mother Teresa, again, one of my favorite quotes from her, she said, joy is like a net that the soul casts to capture souls for Christ. Joy is a net. We have to be people of joy. And here on Gaudete Sunday, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let's be people of joy.